Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, one of the things that you will notice if you get yourself involved with a girl who has borderline personality disorder is that she will very quickly start to tell you about how she was physically or perhaps even sexually abused when she was a child. And there's a degree to which this is something that is made up or exaggerated in order to get attention and in order to turbocharge the bond with you. But there is also a degree to which she is very likely to actually be sexually aroused by being hit or being spanked or whatever it happens to be, that she is actually into BDSM. So being into BDSM is a good marker of borderline personality disorder. And today I want to look at why. Before I do that, could you do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and hit the bell button and leave a comment and upvote it and so on? The YouTube basically demonetizes me. So more importantly, could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based research I can put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, and where, if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, what is borderline personality disorder? Borderline personality disorder is a cluster B personality disorder that is related to things like psychopathy and narcissism, and it is characterized by extreme mood swings, by extreme anger, by a series of brief relationships where the partner is heavily idealized and he does something wrong and he's de-idealized and destroyed, by a paranoid psycho by paranoid psychosis, essentially under conditions of extreme stress, by chronic feelings of emptiness, by self-harm, by risky sexual behavior and other forms of risk, by a weak sense of self. So the person doesn't really understand or accept who they are because they're so full of chronic self-doubt and self-loathing. So they're constantly reinventing themselves and reinventing their hobbies and reinventing their social group and reinventing what job they want to do and all kinds of other things. Their sense of self is weak, and by chronic extreme terror of being abandoned. Now, I've looked in other videos at how you might find such a woman, notice that a woman is borderline on a first date, or even from looking at her. But what I want to look at here is a specific component that you find in these women, which is that they tend to be in to being hit, being spanked. They are sexually aroused, essentially by masochism. And this seems to be one of the reasons why they will have these fantasies, which they will tell you about. They will say, "Oh, I was beaten by my father as a child, or even worse, by my father as a child." These will generally not be true, or they will be heavy exaggerations. They will be ways of bonding with you, ways of turbocharging the bond, ways of eliciting sympathy, ways of turning you into a kind of a feeling that you're a kind of knight in armor that can rescue them and so forth. So ways of strongly bonding you to them very quickly. But they are unlikely to be completely true and completely accurate. They're likely to be exaggerations or indeed complete fantasies. And the fantasy element makes sense because they tend to have sexual fantasies about masochism. According to a study called BDSM and Masochistic Sexual Fantasies in Women with Borderline Personality Disorder, women with borderline personality disorder are 100% more likely than controls to have engaged in to be sexual masochists. They are 34% of them had engaged in some form of BDSM in the previous year, and 50% of them had over their lifetime engaged in some form of BDSM, compared to 23% of controls. Why do they do this? Well, firstly, it's been argued it's like self-harm. It's regulated, controlled pain. It's something they can control, because they are submitting to the man and allowing him to beat them or spank them or whatever it happens to be, but they are ultimately in control of it. So they feel all these negative feelings. They feel overwhelmed by negative feelings. They feel overwhelmed by pain, but this is a form of pain they can control, that they can kind of control. So they like that. Secondly, they feel that the world is very empty. The world is very jarring. The world is somehow unreal and difficult to get their head around. And this is something very primal, that feels very real, that it feels very real in the moment. So they can it kind of allows them to feel something. A third reason is that they feel dominated, but at the same time they feel cared for. And this paradox is extremely important. Dominated, but also loved. He is dominating me, and I like that. I like being dominated, but he also loves me enough to care about me. They will often talk about feeling invalidated by their parents, feeling that their parents didn't really care about them, that their parents were very laissez-faire and just let them do whatever, just didn't really care about their about their lives when they were children. But this person, I know he loves me. I know he loves me because I idealize him as my perfect savior. He is this wonderful, perfect man, and I am attached to him, and I am perfect and wonderful because I am attached to this perfect and wonderful man. So I know this person loves me, and but yet this person is also dominating me, and he loves me enough, he cares about me enough to discipline me. He cares, I lose control. I lose control of my emotions. I become angry, and it's unacceptable that I become so angry, and I feel guilty about it. I lose my temper, and it's unacceptable to lose my temper, and I feel guilty about it. I hurt people and, you know, de-idealize them and throw them out of my life and make them very upset, and I feel guilty about it. I feel guilty. And this person, he loves me. I know he loves me, and he loves me enough to punish me, to try to correct me for the bad things I do. And this in itself is something that can be deeply satisfying. This leads us to the next reason, which they give for liking being for BDSM, which is they just genuinely feel guilty. They feel guilty for the things they've done. They have a sense in which the way in which they behave is wrong. They have these uncontrollable emotions, these uncontrollable rages where they go completely mad, or they do socially unacceptable things when they are in a particular psychological state, and when they are in a different state and feel better, then they deeply regret what they've done, to the extent that sometimes they will be in total denial about what they've done and won't be able to accept what they've done, and they will almost feel like it's a different person that did it. Remember this issue of them having an unstable sense of self, that means that they change their ambitions and all kinds of things, but they've also really heavily changed what they're like, so it will almost be like dealing with a different person, a different personality, depending on the mood that they're in. And so when they're more settled, they will feel very, very guilty for what they've done, and they essentially feel they deserve to be punished. And being punished in this way causes them to feel less guilty. And a final possibility, although this is probably only with a minority of them, is that they have been traumatized by childhood corporal punishment in some way, and this allows them to reenact it but take control of it in a safe way. So it's something that's happening to them, but that they are in control of it. And there is a theory which argues, because one of the elements of the borderline personality is narcissism. They are very low in agreeableness, which means that they're basically, you know, they're narcissistic, they're entitled, they think they're great, they think they're brilliant, at least when they're in a certain mood. And the argument is that such people find, most people that are spanked or whatever as kids just find it humiliating and unpleasant. But for people that are narcissistic, it's intolerably humiliating and unpleasant. How dare they do this to me? And the only way they can deal with it is to sexualize it, is to make it feel like it's something that they actually want to happen to them and that they are in control of. And then that makes them feel better. So it's something that's happening to them that they desire to happen, and they desire it to happen because they are aroused by it. This is a controversial and speculative theory, I should emphasize. But anyway, reenacting trauma is perhaps an element to it. Now, if we want to look in more detail at this, at how it is then that one possibility, of course, is that they are telling the truth to a limited extent, and they have become sexually aroused by being spanked or whatever as a child, and they want to reenact it in adulthood. How could this happen? Well, what you're dealing with potentially with something like big spanking is something that is physiologically arousing, an extreme power imbalance, and also the touching, the hitting of an intimate part of the body, and often indeed the exposure of an intimate part of the body. If let's say that the girl's father, when she was 7 years old or something, she was naughty, I don't know, and he pulled her knickers down, lifted her skirt up, pulled the knickers down, and smacked her on her bare bottom. Well, it's exposing her bottom, it's exposing potentially her vagina as well. It's hitting her on this intimate part of the body full of muscle nerve endings and whatever, and there's a clear power imbalance. Now, how could this be sexualized? Well, there is a degree to which people are, certain kinds of people are sexually aroused by either domination or being dominated. So if you are in a fast life history strategy ecology in which you must live fast and die young and you could be killed at any moment, then the kind of man that you want is the man who is aggressive, who is dominant, who can dominate other men. Now, how can you know in that ecology, and it's an ecology, by the way, in which you're evolved for the man to pump and dump. So there's a degree to which the women will be relatively psychologically masculinized. They will have to do sort of masculine things to look after the children because the men won't. So how do you know that the man is the right kind of man that you want to be pregnant by? Because then he will have the genes that will mean that your child will be dominant and will be able to survive in such a dangerous ecology. Well, the answer is that he can dominate you. And so therefore it makes sense to be sexually in that kind of ecology, if you're that kind of person, to be sexually aroused, potentially, if you're a woman, by being dominated. And similarly, as a man, it's interesting that in prehistory, what men would have to do if they, unless they were the alpha men, would be to get together into groups and gang rape women. And so, of course, it would make sense to be sexually aroused in that context by violence. And so you can see why it would work in a similar kind of way in men, but they would be sexually aroused by being dominant rather than being dominated on average, although there's various reasons why there are nuances to that, and men might be sexually aroused by being dominated, but such that they know that the woman is of a certain kind, that she has good genes and she can therefore dominate back or whatever, but in general that's going to be the dynamic. So therefore, you've got a sense in which a person, for those kinds of reasons, and maybe she's hypersexual as well, so she's adapted to a fast life history strategy ecology, that such a person could be sexually aroused by being dominated. She would have a desire to be dominated. Now, what would then happen, let's say, is that when she's older, she remembers that traumatic occasion. She remembers that spanking, and she associates it with these feelings. It's a template, as it were, and she associates it with these feelings of dominance and these feelings of sexual arousal. And then you have a situation where she has a memory of being spanked by her father, and she is sexually aroused by it. And therefore, you could argue that it almost feels like she's been sexually abused. She hasn't been, but she feels like she's been sexually abused. And from there, you can see why she might exaggerate it, because it feels so intense and so extreme, more than it was, but objectively. So then you can see how she might exaggerate that into saying she was beaten or whatever when she wasn't. She might exaggerate it in other ways as well. And she might exaggerate it into saying that it was sexual abuse. So that you can see how that would develop. But the key issue is that it is a certain kind of female on average that is into BDSM, and it is a good marker of borderline personality disorder. So if you find yourself in that kind of situation with a female, if that's what she's into, then she may well have BPD, and you should be very much aware of that. Okay, I hope that's a bit of interest. And if it has, again, please subscribe on my Substack and all that. And if you have any questions, I'd be interested to read them below. And tally-ho and all that, and see you soon. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?